This is the control tower. May I repeat your mission? In 30 seconds, you get into the combat zone. The target for you to drop bombs are Alpha, Victor, CBS, Sony, Toshiba, EMI, Columbia, Crown, Polydor, Canyon, RVC, Wana, Pioneer, King, Japan, Polista, Disco May, Trio, Takuma, Kitty, SMS, Polygram, Pass, 4Life, Epic, Sony. And may I repeat your mission? Bomb all these and destroy them. Over.
Disconnection. Connection. Connection. Disconnection.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Lakeshore Record Exchange's AlternativeMusic.com podcast. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Chinesi, shop owner, along with co-host, noted music critic Rob Roberts. And we're here with another four musical selections that we think you'll probably enjoy. Robert, good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
And has there been anything earth-shattering that's happened in the last since we last talked?
Not
music-wise for you.
Not that I could think of. No.
No.
But I'm just looking forward to the music news.
We unfortunately don't have any music news this week. It was a slow 10 days.
But what about our music news fans?
I know it's very disappointing. I mean, I could come on and just tell you a bunch of concert dates that have been announced, but that's really not news
as far as I'm
concerned.
News, no.
So yeah, there's not really much to talk about.
Isn't it the bank holiday in the UK right now?
We're gearing
up for Labor Day. I think things do tend to slow down.
Yeah, the end of summer, everybody's still on vacation.
Yeah. Peter Hook hasn't.
No, there was no Peter Hook news. There was nothing about Johnny Marr joining another band as a permanent member. I mean, it was just a very slow music week.
Well,
now, I know that you do a lot of reviews for print publications and things like that. Has there been anything that you've come across in that realm that has, you know, really sort of surprised you this year, like something that's sort of come out of left field that you didn't expect that was a really great album?
Good question, but not really that surprised me. I mean, there's been a lot of good stuff, and I should be able to come up with the
best for the year. Has 2010 been a good year for music as far as you're concerned?
It's been an okay year. Not a great year, not a bad year by any means.
I sort of feel
You know, the best the surprise thing for me was,
what was
the books CD.
Oh, really?
You had me do
The Way Out.
Weeks. The Way Out. I think that's a pretty great record.
Really?
I mean, it's not in the jazz sphere, but
right.
It was quite an interesting record. And actually, the one we're doing today, I'm doing today.
Right,
another
now,
one.
This is a sort of an interesting band or an interesting album, I thought, because, well, one, it's two bands working. No, they're working together. It's not just like one band doing one cut.
Right. No. This is a definite collaboration.
So what is it you have for us?
Two bands, So Percussion, a percussion quartet from New York City area, I believe, and Matmos, who some people might know as an electronic duo. They were out of San Francisco. I think they're, well, not claim to fame. I mean, they've done some pretty great things on their own, but most people probably know them as the people who collaborated with Bjork on the Vespertine album, I think it was.
Right.
And they might have done some remixes for her also.
Yes, and they've got a bunch of records out, I know, that
a lot
of them have come out on Matador, which is a very respected indie label.
Yeah,
so,
which is sort of surprising that they're kind of a little more out there than most electronic duos that I've heard. And it's kind of surprising that Matador would invest in something so, outre or whatever you want to, whatever the word you want to use, you know.
Now,
it's admirable. I think they're a great group.
Like, for somebody that hasn't heard Matmos or So Percussion before, like, what, is there a style that you could attribute to them?
Matmos, they're most... Probably their most famous record is, what's the name of it now? Hold on a second here. It's A Chance to Cut is a Chance
to Cure. Right.
Yes, the one everybody knows. It's the one made out of plastic surgery sounds. I've heard some tracks on it.
Further, though, just so people understand that aren't familiar with that, on that album, they took the sounds of plastic surgery operations.
Mm-hmm.
and use those sounds to create
sample
the music.
Sample them, distorted, you know.
On the album.
Right.
So in a way, it was kind of creepy.
And it was quite creepy, but it was also, you know, what was most creepy was that they did some really perky songs based on those sounds. And it's like, oh,
ripping
wow,
flesh
hey.
And yeah, bone hey. Being chiseled away.
Yes. There's nothing this overtly disturbing on this record, actually.
Okay. It's called Treasure State.
The name of the album is Treasure State. And it's quite an interesting combination. The thing that surprised me is it's actually pretty accessible. There's, you know, I was torn between two tracks to play. One was the most accessible and almost dancey like track.
Uh-huh.
There's a track called Cross.
Uh-huh.
That's almost dancey.
Now, so
and almost ordinary. I don't want to say ordinary because it's kind of a good track, but
as far as like a style goes, it's all instrumental music.
Yes,
but certainly wouldn't consider it jazz.
Certainly not.
It's what would you say? Just
it's not. You know, it has elements of classical percussion music, somewhat,
right.
But not that sort heavy.
It's undefinable.
Yeah,
in a way
that could be a word to use.
Okay.
It's probably not what a lot of people expect. A lot of percussion, so, you know, purely percussion music rubs people the wrong way, I think, because there's not melody, there's not...
Right, there's nothing to grab on.
You know, other than pure rhythm in a lot of cases, like Varese pieces, you know, early Varese and that type of thing. You know, Xenakis. And so percussion actually does those type of pieces. They're really great. They also came up during... You know, they formed in Yale, I think, in 2005, and they hooked up with the Bang on a Can people.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of the New York hip school, sort of minimalist, sort of.
Right.
They're the new tonality, so.
Yep, and they're the ones who did the Brian Eno tributes.
Exactly. And Steve Reich. As a matter of fact, I think So Percussion's first album was a version of Steve Reich's drumming.
Oh, really?
Which is a pretty brazen thing to do because that's a pretty great piece in and of itself. You know, to make another recording of it. I haven't heard their recording of it, but it's a pretty great piece of music, great piece of percussion music. And that's a little more mellifluous.
Was there any info about how these two bands got together as to why they decided
really
to do this
don't,
record?
You know, I couldn't find a whole lot on this.
No.
And I've been kind of busy this week to do a lot of research.
That's all right. I was just curious if they like ran into each other at a club and got drunk and said, you know,
I don't know.
We ought to do
one thing
record.
I wanted. Yeah, really. One thing I just realized I misspoke. So Percussion actually came together in 1999, not 2005.
Okay.
So clarified that. Oh, and I also wanted to mention one of the guys from So Percussion, Jason Truding, is a graduate of Eastman School of Music here in Rochester, New York.
Here in Rochester, so there's a local connection.
So there is a local connection, yes. He, I think he was here during the late 90s. I didn't know him, nor did I think I hear him in concert. I wasn't hanging around there at that time. So
anyway. Is there any particular application for this music, do you think? Like, is there a certain...
you can dance to it, you mean?
No. Well, you'd you know, I'd listen to this
you can dance to it,
on Sunday nights when I'm just winding down, or I'd listen to this.
It could be that. It's really a pretty mellow... mellow's not the word I want to use. It's a pretty accessible record.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a lot of banging percussion at all. You know, it's actually a lot of pleasant sounds mixed together, a lot of glockenspiels and tin cans and tuned tin cans, or I don't know, you know,
okay.
Whatever they use. But the track I'm going to play is probably among the more abstract pieces, and it builds up really nicely. And I think it's a good good use of the two bands, you know, merging together. And So Percussion doing their end of things, Matmos doing their end of things, and it kind of really merges nicely about midway through. And so we're going to hear a track called Shared. So Percussion with Matmos and a track called Shared from the album called Treasure State. And that's just a good piece. I like the way it builds up.
Right. Sort of a good example of how it is almost impossible to put a label on what that music
exactly,
is.
Like, exactly.
It just is, I guess.
Always asking me about labels, and I'm always I'm not anti-label, but you know, it's
right.
Not always that cut and dry.
Right.
But one thing I have to point out too, what I like about this track too, is Matmos doesn't smother what they do. You know, they let the percussion unit shine through really nicely.
Definitely very minimalist.
There is that minimalist character to it too. So Treasure State, check it out, folks.
So it's So Percussion and Matmos.
So Percussion and Matmos.
Dual release. My first pick for this week comes from an artist that I think you're pretty familiar with. Do you say her name Natasha?
Natasha Atlas?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Natasha.
Natasha, I think.
Natasha,
yeah.
Atlas. Now, I don't know if you can...
I probably say it with an American accent, Natasha.
Read what I wrote here, but I've had the heck of a time trying to come up with what the pronunciation of the album is.
It's Moongaliba?
Yeah, it's M-O-U-N-Q. Mukaliba.
Mukaliba, I would guess. I don't know how the accenting is on that. I'm always bad at accenting foreign words.
But, I don't know either, but...
But that's the name, folks.
Yes, it's the new Natasha Atlas. Now, some of you may be familiar with her as the lead vocalist from a band called Trans Global Underground, who were really active during the mid-90s.
And, yeah, they were quite big for a while. Even they were a great band.
Sort of a minor top 40 hit called Templehead. Reached number 40 in the charts over in the UK in 1995, but I haven't heard anything from them in quite a while, so I'm not really sure if they're still together or not.
And they had a good label, too, that Nation label.
Yeah, exactly.
Was really good. Was it 95 that they were active? I thought it was even earlier, maybe.
Well, I think 95 was when they had their minor hit.
Their hit,
because that was from the
And that track, actually, I think, on the indie charts, it topped the indie charts, if I'm not mistaken.
But, now, Trans Global Underground, sort of a world music-influenced pop group, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, electronics, but a lot of world music sounds in there as well. And then you had Natasha singing on top of all of it.
Right, right. I think she's I think she's Moroccan, but lived in Belgium for most of her life.
I guess she considers herself Belgian. And she started out at 24... back in 1991, actually, that was when she first got her record deal going. She had gotten a commission to have a track put on a sampler album in Europe, or actually in Belgium. The album was called Local. It was just a collection of all local Belgian artists at the time, and that's when she met the guys that are in Trans Global Underground and started working with them. So they started together in 92, which
which is about where I came in.
Right. And though while Trans Global Underground has been going on and she's been working with them, she's also released solo albums. This is actually her fifth solo release. It's her first in about 5 years, so I'm not sure what she's been doing during all that time, but her solo albums are much more traditional Indian music. I should say traditional.
North African, I think, more than Indian.
Contemporary.
Arabic.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So it's a little bit, it's definitely different than Trans Global Underground stuff sounds. And I just think more straight ahead, I don't want to say authentic, but more... true to the original source, I guess, of her influences.
She's drawing more strongly. The dance element is really downplayed on most of her solo albums.
Yeah, definitely.
They're pretty nice. But then again, she'll throw something at you, like on one of her albums. I think she did a version of I Put a Spell on You, the Screamin' Jay Hawkins track. You know? So,
did she really? Now, see, I hadn't heard that. That was on one of her solo releases.
I think it was
releases.
The third one, whose title escapes me right now. But yeah, she will do... the bulk of what she does is traditional. I almost think that version of Put a Spell on You was influenced by producers who said, hey, come on, let's do something. You could have a hit on this, maybe. You know?
Right. That's probably very possible. But
but it wasn't a bad version.
Yeah. We'll give a listen to a track now. Again, this is going to be definitely more traditional North African, Arabic, Indian sounding than you might be familiar with from her work with Trans Global Underground. But again, this is... Did we decide how we were going to pronounce this?
I would go with Mukaliba.
Mukaliba. Natasha Atlas on the Alternative Music Podcast.
Is that the track title or is that the album title?
That is the album title.
But you're not going to give us the track title because it's in some language that you can't even begin to...
No, we'll do that when we come back.
Okay.
called Lazat Nashwa.
True North African there.
From Natasha Atlas's new release called Makwa Libra.
I don't think there's a qua there. I think it's Makwa Libra.
Well, it's M-O-U-N-K... M-O-U-N-Q-A-L-I-B-A.
Write that down, people. Don't go by our pronunciation. Munkalibra. Libra. Whatever.
And,
it's a great track, though. I really like that. A nice arrangement. It's very sounds like if you can use this term, a traditional North African pop sound.
That's,
you know, a popular singer sound.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. It's not like they are taking that Arabic sound and mixing in current
dance
other
beats
styles or electronics or anything. It's pretty straight ahead traditional,
which I might also add, though, it doesn't mean that it's not danceable, because this music is very danceable.
Well, Natasha started out as a belly dancer, I guess that has some relevance somewhere in the
world.
I'm sure it does. Anyways, that's my first pick for this week. So now for the archival pick, where this is where Robert and I go back into our own libraries, pick out something that is relatively obscure, and sort of bring it back into the spotlight, because it just needs to be done. There's just so much music that has been forgotten about. We feel that something old should be talked about as well. So for the archival pick for this week, Robert, what do you have?
Okay, I was searching for something that had sort of a percussion angle to it, and I came across
to go with the
Matbos So Percussion CD, and I came up with a band. Do you remember Left Hand Right Hand, a British
trio? They're one of those bands that I remember seeing but never actually hearing, so I don't know.
They were a percussion ensemble, and I don't honestly know a whole lot about them, but and what I found on the web, I'm going to read this. Andrew and Tim Brown first performed as Left Hand, Right Hand in 1985 as a percussion offshoot from the free improvisation collective The Colonels, who I had also never heard of.
No thing for me either.
And they accepted an invitation by two guys named Paul Ackerley and William Vince to perform. They had their own ensemble, and they decided to merge, and they formed Left Hand, Right Hand.
Wow.
Quartet, and then a trio when Vince, I believe, left, and it was just Ackerley and the two Brown brothers. And they released about three or four albums, as far as
really?
I could tell, total. Yeah, I have a couple.
I remember seeing this one.
The first thing they released was a 12-inch called Humdrum, and then they followed it up with this album where we're going to play a track from called Legs Akimbo. And in addition to the guys from Left Hand, Right Hand, they were inviting people like Lal Coxhill and George Haslam to play on their two British sax players that are really great. And another person who played with them was Carl Blake, who I'm sure you know.
Wow, very frightening
guy. Shock-Headed Peters,
yes.
Lemon Kittens.
Serious man.
Very serious man, but he's always interesting when
absolutely.
When he's added to a group. The track we're going to hear is a track called White City, and in a weird way, this kind of ties in with the Natasha Atlas thing, too, because it sort of has a Middle Eastern flavor. And it's one of the tracks that Carl Blake assists on. So why don't we go ahead and listen to it? White City by Left Hand, Right Hand.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Left Hand, Right Hand, and a track called White City from their recording Legs Akimbo.
Yeah, the
album came out about 1993. Isn't it interesting how it sort of ties in with both the Natasha Atlas and the So Percussion?
Very Arabic sort of feel to it with that. The tomblas.
But they have a nice mixture, too, of the percussion and the electronics element, too, which kind of reflects on So Percussion and Matmos.
Absolutely.
It's an obscure little thing that people should seek out.
Left hand, right hand now. And this was an import at the time. I can't imagine that this is still in print.
I can't imagine. Well, it's on the Tac 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 label.
Yeah. Of course.
Which actually, the thing is, I don't know if the band's around. They had a link, but it was dead.
Really?
When you try to connect with it on the web.
Okay.
But it was a good band, and they did some productive stuff. So
a good archival pick. Legs Akimbo, Left Hand, Right Hand.
Right.
For my archival pick, this is actually a really recent release. It's from last year, the beginning of last year. It's from a group called 07, and they're a band that's been around for 6 years now. This is their fourth album that they've put out. The group is one of those deals where it's two guys, two kind of studio nerds, a duo of Henry Binns and Sam Hardacre. And they essentially use a rotating cast of guest vocalists for all their vocal needs. This is a group I would say would fall in to the category of like Hoover Phonic or More Chiba, or Moloko, if you're familiar with any of those groups, sort of electronic, downbeat. I don't want to say ambient, but sort of downbeat electro acoustic.
And you don't want to use the term trip hop, which has been...
No, although, you never hear that anymore, actually,
no, you
to
don't
be honest with you. I forgot, who was it that was considered like...
Well, Massive Attack.
There you go, all right.
More Chiba, too, I think.
Yeah, so...
Well,
these guys would definitely fit in with that in that vein, and I picked this album, even though it's relatively recent release, because I keep going back to it and listening to it still. It's about 2 years now that it's been out, but I'm still listening to it, so I thought it would still be something worth pointing out. Again, the album is the album is called Yeah Ghost. I don't know what that refers to, because there's no mention of ghosts on any of the songs or anything like that. Again, this is the band's fourth release, and the tune we're going to hear is called Swing, and I think that they sampled a couple of bars from an old song by the Stranglers called Golden Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Their song about heroin that's sort of like a waltz, and... maybe it's just me, but I think it you can hear that at the very beginning. There's like two or three bars of that, of the Stranglers in there, but I could be wrong.
I'm not good at playing Spot the Sample.
This one hit me immediately as soon as I heard it the first time. I don't know why, but see what you think. By the way, the guest vocalist on this track is somebody named Binky Shapiro. Have you... Are familiar with any of her stuff?
Nope.
I don't know the either. So this is 07 and the track Swing.
Can't figure out how to I won't care. Stay in my arms if you dare. You can't romanticize the crazy.
Seven from their fourth release from 2009. The album is called Yeah Ghost, and the song is called Swing, featuring Binky Shapiro on vocals. Again, it sounds to me like they sampled a couple bars off the Stranglers song Golden Brown, but that could be just me.
Could be. Nice track, though.
Little upbeat,
yeah,
kind of electro pop.
Nice way to end the show.
Right. And this is going to do it for us for another edition of the AlternativeMusic.com podcast. Again, I'm Andrew Chinesi, shop owner, here with noted music critic Rob Roberts. We appreciate you spending the time with us. Remind you that if you have any questions about any of the music that we've played, or I guess any of the comments that we've made, you can always email us at podcast@alternativemusic.com. And also at the alternativemusic.com website, there's a podcast page that has information about the music that you've heard as well, in case you want more information. So again, thanks for spending some time with us. Until next episode, Robert, do you have any words of wisdom for the audience at large?
Not a thing.
Until then, we will talk to you later.